We are, Lord willing, in Galatians chapter 5 today. Galatians chapter 5, I think we went down to verse 12 last time. This time we'll go down to the end of verse 21, Lord willing. There's plenty in here for us. Read with me Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask you please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to help us. We love you and we thank you so much for the opportunity to get together as we are here to study the words of God. And these folks have come to learn, Father, and you've called me to teach, and I'm asking you, please, to allow both of us to accomplish what we came here to do. I pray, Heavenly Father, you'll fill me with your Holy Spirit. These words are powerful. Your Spirit is powerful. May the work done here be powerfully done to the edification of these saints while you be glorified. We also pray, Father, that you will make the words distinct and clear and understandable and beneficial, so that as we're teaching, they can be absorbed, they can be remembered, and long beyond this day here, actually guiding our lives. And we ask you to do these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Now, in this particular passage, what we're doing is we're following up with something that Paul started in Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. Basically, what he was dealing with in that first part of that chapter is, he said, these folks that have come to put legal chains on you, these folks that have come to, that are legalists, that have wanted you to get circumcised and start keeping the law, these folks have denied the liberty that you have in the Lord God. If you're gonna start keeping the law, he said, the next thing that's gonna happen is this gospel that I preach, free salvation in Jesus Christ, is gonna disappear from the message. And what you're gonna start hearing about is religious ritual and legalistic obedience in order for you to think that you're going to heaven when you die. And he said, there's two problems with that. You can't get to heaven that way. And secondly, once you let a little of that stuff into the church, it just takes over. And if you've come out of any mainline denominational church, you've seen that very thing happen. There is virtually no preaching of the gospel anymore in mainline denominational churches. You may be asking yourself, what is a mainline denominational church? Like a Methodist church or a Presbyterian church or an Episcopal church. 100 years ago, you could go to just about any one of those and you could hear the gospel preached just as plainly as you hear it preached now when it's preached in truth. You go to the churches like that now and you don't hear the gospel. I mentioned that last week, and I was standing out there in the foyer and a lady came by. She says to me, I was going to the Methodist church in the 30s. That's a little while back for y'all that don't. And she said, I'll tell you something. Until I got saved, I never once heard the gospel preached. And that's, you know, that's 70, 80 years ago. So that's what Paul said is, we can't let that in. You can't let a little of this in, because if you do, it's all going back to a legalistic adherence, and you're going to end up with churches full of lost people. That's what happened. So with that, then he goes on to say in verse 13, brethren, you have been called to liberty. Now that's a spiritual liberty that we have. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But he says in verse 13, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. In other words, he says, you have liberty, but you don't have liberty to follow what your flesh desires. You have liberty to serve one another. You see, in spiritual liberty, you're not under the law. Look at verse 18 again. If you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. So that's true. We're no longer referencing the law to determine what we can and can't not do. The law says, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery. We don't reference that and then live our lives accordingly. We are led of the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God, listen, will never cause you to walk contrary to the law. Now, there's elements in the law like being circumcised. There's an element of the law that says keep holy the Sabbath. You don't do either one of those. You know why? You're not under the law. But and also, those things are not necessary for salvation, and they're not necessary for us. So the Spirit of God is going to give you liberty, but He's never going to cause you to walk contrary to the law. You know what He's going to do? He's going to lead you. He's going to lead you toward love, and He's going to lead you away from lust. He's going to lead you toward love. He's going to lead you away from lust. Jesus Christ was here on this earth, and a lawyer came to Him to tempt Him. And He said, Master, what is the great commandment in the law? And He didn't say, I am the Lord, thou shalt have no other gods before Me. He didn't say, don't make any graven images to bow down thereto. He didn't say, don't take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. You know what He said? He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Love. Did you hear that? With all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like thereunto. Thou shalt, what's the next word? Love thy neighbor as thyself. The law eventually would turn you to the love of God and to the love of a neighbor. But the strange thing about it is when the law starts taking effect on us, it doesn't do that to us at all. What it does is it stirs up something inside of us because of the lust of the flesh that says you can't do that, and you say, watch Me. Just watch Me. So the strange thing about the law is it seems to have excited within us the lust that is there, whereas the Spirit in liberty draws us back to the love that we should have been able to get into by following the law, but couldn't because of the weakness of our flesh. Turn to Romans chapter 7. In Romans chapter 7, look at verse 10. The commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. The commandment was to tell you, these are really bad things, don't do these. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. You see how that goes? So the law is there to drive you into doing something good, but the very fact that we are what we are with sin in us, it stimulates in us the opposite behavior. The law-abiding citizens of Jesus' day are the ones who called for His crucifixion. You see how it works? So Paul says, you have been called unto liberty. That is, you're free from that now. So with the Spirit of God in us, then what He can do is, as we yield to His work and die to ourselves, He can accomplish in us what the law could not accomplish. And that's why we tell people who are lost, you don't try to live a good life in order to get saved. That's not possible for you to do to the satisfaction of the Lord God. And the harder you try, the worse it's going to get. The thing to do is just admit, I am a sinner, helplessly without hope. I need Jesus Christ, and get the Spirit of God inside of you. And then with that liberty, find that you can now start walking in the love that the law hoped you would find, but couldn't give you. You need liberty. You and I need liberty, or we would be in the same wreck that the Pharisees were in. We'd be in the same wreck that we were in as church-going people before we actually got saved and got this liberty that we have. The Spirit of God will lead you toward lust, toward love, and away from lust. Listen, what was it that drove Jesus Christ to the cross? The law? No, it was love. Love. Greater love hath no man than this, a man lay down his life for his friends. The law didn't tell him to do that. Love did. Love is greater than the law. The fruit of our salvation is not conformity to the law, but conformity to Jesus Christ. And who is He? God, the Bible says, God is love. Jesus Christ said to His disciples, by this shall all men know that you are My disciples if you have love one to another. Now, you know what? I can stand here honestly and say, I love you guys. And I could do that as a human being. But you know something? I know some things about some of you. And you know some things about me. And if it were just left to our human capacity, do you understand? We wouldn't love each other enough to stick. The Bible says there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. But there's something that happens inside of us when Jesus Christ saves us, which is a divine love that supersedes our human inclinations. And that love is the love that the Lord was talking about. He said, when people see that, they're going to know something about you that's very different than they are. They're going to know you're My disciples. It's a shambles, unfortunately, when churches don't demonstrate that kind of love and they get into splits and rumbles and all that other kind of thing. That's a desperately bad situation. Oh, you know all that is? I've got a set of laws I live by. You got a set of laws you live by. They're not the same, so we're after each other now. If you don't want to come over here and live by the rules I like to live by, then just get out. And the world looks at it and they go, that's some kind of love right there. That's kind of like, this is My club, and I got a sign on there. If you want to abide by My rules, you're welcome. If not, keep out. Just like the kids did when they built forts in the neighborhood. And the Lord said, that's what the law does. And He says, we're not going there. You see, when you love someone, you don't do anything to hurt them. You do everything you can to please them. And there's no law that makes that happen. Legislation is a notch down from the law, because with the law, you have to do right. And with love, you want to do right. And there's a major difference in those two things. So that's what we're looking at. Notice, verse 22. It's not our text today. But what is that? That's talking about the fruit of the Spirit. What's the first thing? What's the first characteristic of the fruit of the Spirit? Love. So the Lord says in this discussion we're having today, He says, guys, you need to understand something. I want you to walk in liberty because the law can't do for you what walking in the liberty of the Spirit can. Verse 14 of our text. All the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's the second commandment. And it is fulfilled when the Spirit of God in me and the Spirit of God in you are connected. Look at verse 15. If you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. Probably the greatest place in the world to see that is in family harmony, husbands and wives. Right? You know, the person you bicker with the most is the one that lives under the roof with you. But you don't consume each other. Why? Because if you do, the fight's over. Who then would you fight with? Strange way to show love, isn't it? But that's how we do it. Paul said, same thing's true. I understand you guys. You'll bicker. He said, but don't you eat each other up. You love each other more than that. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You see how they're contrary? The Spirit will lead you toward love, and the flesh, or the law, will lead you toward lust. And that lust and that spirit are contrary. Verse 17, the flesh lusteth against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would if you be led of the Spirit. You are not under the law. So over here on this side, basically, and I'm not pointing these folks out as those that are led by lust, but just for this purpose of illustration, this is the lust group. Illustrious. And this is the love group. California. Peace, brother. Okay. That's the love group. Alright? And there is a divide right here in the middle. These are not the same. They don't go in the same direction. They never do. They are contrary the one to the other. If you give in to this group, then you are not here. You are drawn away from the love. If you go with this group, then you are going away from this deal right here, this group of, and they're contrary. There's a war on. You know, I've had people come to me and they say to me, preacher said, man, I never had a war going on in my life at all like I'm having right now. Before I was saved, it wasn't like this. You know why? Because you were on one side. Now you got saved and the Spirit's pulling you another way. That, if anything, is evidence of your salvation. As I said to a fellow one time, in the old days, you didn't used to feel bad about that stuff. Now you do. It's an indication that the Spirit of God is in there and trying to draw you away. What's He trying to draw you away from? Main part of our study today. What's He trying to draw you away from? He's trying to draw you away from these works of the flesh. Well, what are they? Well, the works of the flesh are manifest. That means you can see them. They come out. Jesus Christ was talking to His disciples, to the Pharisees, and His disciples were there, and they were getting on Him about eating with unwashing hands, and He said, listen, guys, if my hands are dirty and I eat a hamburger, He didn't say it that way. But if that happens, it's going right on through me. That's not going to defile me. What defiles me is what's inside my heart. What's inside the heart is adultery and evil eye and anger and He goes down a list of about 12 things in there that are on the inside. They're not manifest because they're deep down in the heart. But since they are works of the flesh, in time, they're coming out. They are manifest. You can see them. Adultery is one of them. Now, you don't see adultery when it's going on in the dark and people don't realize there's an affair going on. But it'll come out in time. It always does. Somebody finds the little black book. And then the other guys are all in trouble. Adultery. What is adultery? Well, they used to say, because there's two of them right here together. There's one called adultery in Galatians 5:19, and the other one called fornication. And people used to say that adultery was between married people and fornication was between unmarried people. But that's not really so. If you study it out carefully in the Bible, you're going to find that adultery is the thought or the act. The thought or the act. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Jesus Christ is talking to His disciples and He raised the bar. He says, in verse 28. I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. So that would indicate there are many more adulterers than people know, because there are, particularly this day and age, it's everywhere. On the television, on the internet, on your cell phone, on billboards, on magazines, everywhere, sex is used to sell. It's part of marketing these days. Whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Well, he can do that because the adultery is down in there. All right, so that's just the thought, not the act. But adultery also includes the act. And in that, what you've done essentially is you have adulterated a relationship. Take, for instance, that these two chairs are husband and wife. Okay? And in this situation, you have a union, one flesh, the Bible calls it. Let's say that this is the husband, and over here is another person, and the husband joins himself with, in this union. Well, the Bible says, he that is joined to a harlot is one flesh. Well, then you know what he's done? He's destroyed the union on that side and adulterated that relationship. And that's why it's called adultery. And that act will destroy the union of that relationship there. Fornication, on the other hand, is just the act. And it can be committed, whether that's by people that are not married, or it can be committed by people who are married. It's not, adultery is just the act between married people. That's not the case. Look in Matthew chapter 19, I'll show you. Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, verse 9. Jesus Christ has been talking, he was answering a question of the Pharisees about whether or not it was lawful to put away a wife. And he was explaining the Old Testament to him. And he says in verse 6, first of all, he says, what therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. If you've been to a wedding and they use traditional vows, you're going to hear the preacher say that. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. But then in verse 19 he says, I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, watch it, except it be for, what's the next word? Fornication. So here, this is a married couple, and she has committed fornication. That means she is in the act of a sexual relation with somebody else. So adultery is not just between married people, and fornication between unmarried people. Fornication is the act, married or whether married or not. Put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery, and whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. You see it? So adultery and fornication are both there, and it involves that. Now let me just say this, and then we're going to go on, because it's such an important subject these days. These days it is common practice for unmarried girls and unmarried guys to get together and fornicate. It's common. I think it happens more with school-age kids than it doesn't happen. And the idea is that I have this feeling toward this boy, or I have this feeling toward this girl. Well, we're attracted. And that stirs up the feelings and emotions, and they say hormones. And the next thing you know, in order to express that feeling with each other, they decide to sleep together. The Bible says that's fornication. The Bible says that's a work of the flesh. And the Bible says that the Spirit of God doesn't lead people into that. Because the Bible says that the Spirit of God is leading contrary to the lust of the flesh. Do you understand that? So I'm saying this because your parents, well, there's some kids in here, but you're also parents of kids, and you need to understand that it is never right. Listen carefully. It is never right for kids to fornicate as an expression of their, they say love, lust for each other. The Spirit of God does not lead your children that way. Are we all on this page together? That's lust that leads that way, and your child may say, but I love him or I love her. That's not love. Listen, the Spirit of God leads toward love. The law leads toward lust. If the Spirit of God is leading toward lust, toward love, and lust is a work of the flesh manifested in fornication, that's not the Spirit of God. Are we together? So don't be fooled when somebody says, you know, yes, and I think I love him, and we're being physical in this relationship. That's not the Spirit of God. That's lust, and that is contrary to the Spirit of God. Now, if somebody is going to establish their relationship in fornication in order to find God's will, help me here. Are they going in the right direction? Because when you're in this group over here, you can't be in this group over here. Got it? And don't be fooled by that. It's so commonplace today that Christian parents all over are becoming used to this, thinking that's kind of the way, well, that's just what you do when you're trying to find out whether this is God's will for your life. That's not how you find God's will for your life. You find God's will for your life by being led by the Spirit of God in the direction of love, which is contrary to lust. Are we together here? Paul made this very clear for a reason, and I thank God that he did, because we've got to understand, if it is a work of the flesh, then it is not a fruit of the Spirit. We just have to know that. And we have to live by that. You say, well, that says, thou shalt not. Mm-mm. You've been called to liberty. You're not doing it. How do you like that? You're not doing it because the law said don't. Didn't the law say thou shalt not commit adultery? But he says you're not under that law. You're not doing it because the law said don't. You're doing it because the Spirit of God is leading you away from that. The law can tell you not to do it, and Romans chapter 7 says, you just watch. It started out when you were kids, folks. Mom said, don't you dare touch that. And as soon as she turned her back, you went over there and touched it. Don't means do. But when the Spirit of God is leading you, the works of the flesh are not going to be manifest, because He's going to move you by liberty away from what you really want to do. So follow the Spirit of God. All right? Adultery, fornication. Next one, uncleanness. What's that? Well, it has mainly to do with morality. Morality, mainly. Iniquity, wickedness, filth. This is the society in which we live today. This is a highly immoral society. The United States is a very unclean nation today. I mean, just look. Look what's coming out of Hollywood. Look what's on the television. Look what comes out on the internet. You say, well, yeah, that's just people talking. But that's what's coming out in the heart. And people pay money to listen to it and to see it. This is a very unclean nation. Uncleanness. It has to do with morality, a very, very wicked morality. Lasciviousness. Now, there's another message altogether. As a matter of fact, I preached a message on lasciviousness. I've got the notes on it right here. Lasciviousness. But basically what lasciviousness is, it is unrestrained. It is an unrestrained avenue to express and experience everything that's going on inside of here without restraint. And that's what we're raising in this generation of children, is a lascivious generation. A lascivious generation just basically says, if it feels good, do it. And it just opens up. There's no moral rectitude. And I'll tell you something. What's driving the substantial growth in mega churches today is lasciviousness. That's what's really driving it. It's not the liberty of the Spirit. I'm not envious of the size of their congregations. It doesn't bother me in the least that they've got thousands coming and we have a couple of hundred. That doesn't bother me. That's not what this is about. I know what they're using to attract. They have found a lascivious generation and they have attracted them with a light show and a concert and come dressed as you please and drink your Starbucks coffee in the deal. Stay here for 45 minutes to an hour, leave a little money, and we'll see you next week. Lasciviousness. Drunkenness. Anybody got any trouble with that? Let's see. That's down in the list. What I'm doing here is I'm talking about sins of the flesh, kind of trying to group these up because the three areas of sin are the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. All right, so drunkenness. That's down in verse 21, third item, envyings, murders, drunkenness. Anybody need an explanation on that one? Drunkenness, too much to drink. We don't live in a custom here where you grew up having a glass of wine with a meal. I mean, when I say that, that's like in the European countries. You didn't grow up with that thing. And the bad thing, I don't know how many deaths there are now by alcohol each year, but it was over 50,000 the last time I checked. They're all worried about guns killing people and they're taxing the alcohol and loving it. And they're dying by the tens of thousands every year in this country. And untold thousands of homes destroyed by that stuff. So we just take a stand, you know what, just don't drink. Why? Because you say, you know, a guy says, I can take it or leave it. Like a friend of mine said, when he tells you you can take it or leave it, he'll take it every time. That's it, man. I'll tell you what, it has a wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. The day that you have one more than you should have that you didn't know is the day that you get in trouble. And you're like, how in the world did this happen? The Bible says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Do you see how those run contrary to each other? The Spirit of God would never lead you in that direction, ever. Revelings, also in verse 21, right after drunkenness. That's beer bashes and parties and dances. You know, some of you guys, and even ladies, y'all like to watch football. Nothing wrong with watching football. You ever see what goes between, every time there's a timeout, you ever see what comes on? Bud, Miller, and all that kind of stuff. And you know what you got? That's revelry. Tailgate parties and dancing and carrying on and you know, woo-hoo, Mardi Gras. Big time party. Here's what happens. 1 Peter chapter 4. Keep your finger where you are. Obviously, we're coming back. 1 Peter chapter 4. Look at verse 3. This is what happens after you get saved. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 3. For the time past of our life, any of y'all got a past? I do. I'm not proud of that, but I understand this verse. The time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, there's that word, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. You know why some people don't leave the riot after they get saved? They don't want people talking bad about them. I got saved and I quit going to the banquets, so to speak. And I had a friend of mine that I've been witnessing to and I still pray for, still not saved. But at some point, a few years after my life had changed, I was witnessing to him and he had so much conviction he was ready to get saved. We were driving. He said, pull the truck over. He was going to pray right then. And I mean, right when he was getting ready to bow his head, he said, stop. And I said, what? He said, just stop. Let's go on. I said, what's the problem? He said, I don't want them talking about me the way we've been talking about you. That, I'll tell you what, that'll really hold people back. revelings. Ah, you say, well, that sure was fun. It's funny, you know, they go to the party, woohoo, we had such a great time. Wake up in the morning, you say, boy, did somebody get the license plate of that truck? And that night, where's the party? And the Bible says the Spirit of God leads you away from that. Look at some more. Idolatry, verse 20. Idolatry, kind of one of those things of the eyes. Idols and covetousness. Idols and covetousness. Now, when I went to church as a kid, we went to a church that's filled with idols. That's just the way it was. There were statues of, you know, Mary and Joseph and the hope and Jesus still hanging on the cross and all that. People say, well, we don't worship those things. They're just an aid to worship. Well, Jesus Christ, God said in the Old Testament, don't make any graven images of things in heaven or things in earth or things under the earth to bow down thereto. When I was raised in that church, come to the back door, put your finger in what was called holy water, and we crossed ourselves, came up to the pew where we were going to take our seat, and we did this. You know what that's called? Genuflect. You give it that name so nobody knows what it is. It's bowing to the idols. Back here was a tabernacle. And inside of there was the host or the communion, whatever from the prior service that didn't get distributed. You'll bow again when the priest holds that up and you will say to that wafer, my Lord and my God. And you'll bow again. And that's not your Lord. And that's not your God. And the Lord said, the Spirit of God is going to lead you away from idolatry. Colossians chapter 3, but let me just say it's not just religious. Colossians chapter 3, look at verse 5. It's not just religious. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, mortify, you know what that means, like a mortician, kill it. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, there's another one of those unleashed lust words, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Covetousness, which is idolatry. In other words, the United States of America is not only an unclean nation in so many of its ways, manifesting uncleanness, but it's also a very covetous society. We are a consumer economy here, which means you got to buy and sell things continuously to keep the dollars churning. Okay? You know what sells that? Covetousness. Advertising appeals to your covetous nature. You see that thing and you go, whoa, I got to have one of those. Whoa, I got to have one of those. This Friday coming up is called Black Friday. And people stand in line to get deals. I never have and I never will. I cannot stand it. I've got trouble enough with my own covetous nature and idolatry to not have to succumb to that craziness. Anyway, so we got to be real careful about that, because that covetousness, you may look at that and say, you see how wrong they are. They ought to be bound down those statues. Yeah, but if you've got that covetous nature, it's the same problem. Like they say, you point that finger that way, three of them are pointing back. We got to be aware covetousness is the same thing. Here's another one. Witchcraft, verse 20. Witchcraft. That's employing sorcery, exercising supernatural powers. It also has to do with stubbornness and willfulness. Turn with me, keep your finger where you are. 1 Samuel in the Old Testament, 1 Samuel chapter 15. Rebellion. 1 Samuel chapter 15, you say, my children are not practicing witchcraft. But look at this. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, Saul disobeyed a direct command of God, but told Samuel that he did obey. You see in verse 20, 1 Samuel 15, verse 20, Saul said to Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. But he didn't. And in verse 22, Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected thee from being king." When you are rebellious and stubborn, it's witchcraft. You say, why? Why is it witchcraft? Very simply, Spirit of God leads this way toward love. Lust leads this way, or the law leads this way, toward lust. In rebellion, whose way do you want to do? Yours or God's? Okay, yours. In stubbornness, you are resolved to stay in your rebellion. Whose authority are you under right here? Yours or Satan's? Was he not the great rebel? All right. Most of the time you were under, what you're doing is, if you're under your own will and you're in Satan's camp, you got there of your own volition, can't blame him. But you're still opposed to God. You know what that means? You have thrown off the proper authority of God's rule in your life. When you do that, you're a rebel practicing witchcraft. You say, man, I tell you what, the way the Bible is, it's just too plain for me. I don't want it any other way. You know why this speaks to me? Because I say these things as if I've never experienced any of this in my life. I've experienced all this. And you look at that and you go, that's disgusting. So you get filled with the Spirit and you go away from it. One of the beauties of getting saved and going with the Spirit of God is, if you have that stuff in your past, you can look back there and you can go, you know what? But that was back then. And this is now. And we don't go that way anymore. All right. Emulations. That's another one in the list. Emulations. See it up there in verse 20 after hatred and variance? Emulations. You know what that is? People speak today, peer pressure. That's emulations. Just striving to be equal with others in their accomplishments. Peer pressure. I loved when Mary Gates was here. After, on her 94th birthday, we were in that building over there. She's a radio listener. Some of you knew Mary. Mary Gates listened to us. She went to Annabelle Baptist Church. And on occasion, they wouldn't have a Sunday night service. And she was sitting back there with her little entourage that would come on Sunday night if they didn't have church. And I asked anybody if they wanted to praise the Lord for something. She raised her hand and said, "I praise the Lord." I said, "Really? Why?" She said, "I'm 94 years old today." I said, "That's wonderful. How is it being 94? She said, "It's wonderful. No peer pressure." Rivalry, that's that emulation. All right, another one in the list, envying. See it there in the verse 21. Let me give you this definition. It's a fabulous definition. Envying is a painful resentment of an advantage enjoyed by another, accompanied by a desire to possess the same advantage. That's a really good definition. Envy is a fabulous word. Painful resentment of an advantage enjoyed by another, accompanied by desire to possess the same advantage. And where that really gets people in trouble in church is, they always get to sit in that seat. That's where I want to sit. Or how come he gets to play the piano? Or how come he gets to teach Sunday school? Or how come he's always the one doing the preaching? Or how come... You know what all that is? Envy. And you know what the Bible says about envy? It is the rottenness of the bones. It eats you from the inside out. And it's not of the Spirit of God. We'll hear more about that later. There are also sins of pride. Hatred is in the list. Hatred. Verse 20, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred. Hatred stirreth up strife. But love covereth all sins. Check your own heart on that. The Bible says Jesus Christ was telling his disciples, "Yea, a man's foes shall be they of his own household." Did you get saved and find that there were some family members that decided to break it off with you after you did? Some of you didn't, but some of you did. And Jesus Christ said they would do that. You know what? They may hate us. He said, Jesus Christ told his disciples, if they hate you, they hated me first. But that's not right for us to turn around and hate them. The Spirit says, love thy neighbor as thyself. Jesus Christ said, you got to love your enemies. You can't do that on your own, but the Spirit of God can. And when you sense that hatred coming up, that's not God. That's you. Listen, you know the beauty of this is, He has laid this thing so painfully bare, it's like exposing you inside out. That way when you look at yourself in the mirror and you find yourself over here, you go, you dirty scoundrel, I know how you got here. You can talk to yourself that way and say, the God didn't lead me here. I brought myself into this thing and I'm going to turn my back on this and go the other way. And He just makes it very plain. Wrath is another one that's in the list. Wrath is rage expressed vehemently, accompanied by bitterness. Wrath. Wrath of man is cruel, the Bible tells us. A lot of times you'll see, they'll tell you what, just some of us had real trouble controlling our temper when we were younger and after we got saved. I'm going to just tell you this real quick about wrath and this anger thing. Wrath seeks a target. Wrath needs a target. And the target that it will choose is somebody who is close by, like a family member or a spouse. Because the person who is angry is afraid to take it out on the person that brought it, that stirred it up, because they don't want people to know this is how I am. So he turns to a spouse and blows it there for an incidental thing. Because there's safety here, this person knows that I don't have control over my temper, and they'll love me in spite of this. So, poo, the spouse gets all the steam. Everybody's really quiet. I think you don't know a thing about what I'm saying. No, I think you do know what I'm saying. And I'm telling you, listen, the Spirit of God does not lead you to pour it out on a close relative because you're too afraid to confront problems with people where the problem started. And if you've got that, that's not the Spirit of God. And you need to change that by following the Spirit of God. And you can change that by following the Spirit of God. Strife is also in the list. That's just a, you know what? I have burned a lot of time here going over these sins, and there was something else I wanted to tell you, and I didn't realize what time it was. I'm having such a good time up here, we need to stop. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to go through this. I pray you'll help us in Jesus' name. Amen.